A Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Chapter 2. The duty of praying for the ministers of the gospel. From this request of the apostle, we may note that the ministers of the gospel are, in a special manner, to be remembered in the saints' prayers. Section 1. In regard of God, whose message they bring, they come about in His work and deliver His errand. Not to pray for them will be interpreted that you wish them not well in the business they have in hand for Him. They do not only come from God, but with Christ. We are workers together with Him. Beseech you not to receive the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Christ and the minister go into the pulpit together. A greater than man is there. Master and servant are both at work. Again, the blessing of the minister's labor is from God, not the hand that sets the plant nor sows the seed, but God's blessing gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. When Melanchthon was first converted, the light of the gospel shone with so clear and strong a beam on his own eyes that he thought he should convert all he preached unto. He deemed it was impossible his hearers should withstand the truth, which he saw with so much evidence, but he afterwards found the contrary, which made him say, I see now that old Adam is too hard for young Melanchthon. God carries the key by his girdle that alone can open hearts, and prayer is the key to open his. When Christ intended to send forth his disciples to preach the gospel, he sets them solemnly to prayer. Matthew 9:38. Many are the promises which he hath given to the ministers of the gospel for their protection, that he will give these stars in his right hand, or they had been on the ground and stamped underfoot long ago. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Exodus 4:12. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Matthew 28:19-20. Wherefore are these promises but to be shot back again in prayer to God who gave them? Section 2. In regard to the ministers themselves, there is not a greater object of piety and prayer in the world than the faithful ministers of Christ, if you consider first the importance of their work. It is temple work, and that is weighty, which made Paul cry out, Who is sufficient for these things? I am doing a great work, said Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. But what was that to the minister's labors? They are called soldiers, watchmen, husbandmen, yea, their work is set out by the pains of a woman in travail. Some of them indeed have easier labors than others, those who find more success in their ministry than their brethren. But who can tell the thrones that their souls feel, who all the time of their ministry go in travail and bring forth dead children? Thirdly, is it an opposed work? First, by hell. The devil never liked temple work. He that was at Joshua's right hand to resist him is at the minister's elbow to disturb him, both in the study and in the pulpit. I would have come, saith Paul, but Satan hindered. Who can tell all the devices that Satan hath to take the minister off or hinder him in his work? One, while he discourages him so that he is ready with Jonah to run away from his charge. Another, while he is blowing him up with pride. Even Paul himself hath a thorn given him in his flesh to keep pride out of his heart. Sometimes he disturbs him with passion and leaves his zeal into sourness and unmercifulness. This the disciples were tainted with when they called for fire to come down from heaven upon those who stood in their way. Sometimes he chills their zeal and intimidates their spirit into cowardice and self-pity. Thus Peter favored himself when he denied his master, and at another time disassembled with the Jews to obtain their favor. Secondly, it is opposed by the wicked world. To be a minister, saith Lutheran, is nothing else but to drive the world to wrath and fury upon himself. How are they loaded with reproaches? The dirt nowhere lies so thick as on the minister's coat. What odious names did the apostles themselves go under? And it were well they would only smite them with their tongues, but in all ages persecutors have thirsted most after their blood. The persecution in the Acts begins with the cutting off of James's head. 7,000 could lie better hid in Jezebel's time than one prophet. These are the burdensome stones which everyone is lifting at, though none could do it without bruising their own fingers. In every national storm, almost, these are taken up to be thrown overboard as those that raised it. How many are there of an opinion that nothing keeps them from seeing happy days but the standing of ministers in their office? Oh, miserable happiness, which cannot be bought and purchased but with the ruin of those that bring the tidings of peace and salvation. Such a happiness this would be, as the sheep had in the fable, when persuaded to have the dogs that kept the wolves off killed, or as the passengers at sea would have when their pilot is thrown overboard. In a word, such a happiness as the Jews had when Christ was taken out of the way by their murderous hands. They slew him to preserve themselves and their city from the Romans, but brought them with irreparable ruin by this very means upon their own head. Thirdly, that which adds weight to the former is that the men who are in to bear this heavy burden to conflict with all these difficulties and dangers are those who have no stronger shoulders than others, for they are men subject to the like infirmities with their brethren. Now, will not all this melt you into the compassion towards them, and your compassion send you to prayer for them? Shall they stand in the face of death and danger where Satan's bullets and man's also fly so thick, and you are not at the pains to raise the breastwork before them for their defense by your prayers? Section 3. In regard of yourselves, love to yourselves should induce you to pray for them. First, consider the ministry as an office set up on purpose for your sakes. It was never intended for the exalting of a few men above their brethren, but for the service of your faith. The gift that Christ hath given to men, Ephesians 4:12, are for the edifying of the body of Christ. And will you not pray for those that, from one end of the year to the other, are at work for you? If you had but a child or servant sent abroad about your worldly business, would you not send a prayer after him? Thus did good Jacob when his children went on his errand to Egypt. God Almighty, give you mercy before the man. Will not you do this much for your minister, and pray that God Almighty may go with him when in his study to prepare, and when in the pulpit to deliver what he hath prepared for your souls? Secondly, the minister's miscarriage is dangerous to the people. Therefore, pray for them, lest you be led into temptation by their faults. The sins of the teachers are the teachers of sin. If the nurse be sick, the child is in danger. If the minister be tainted with an error, it is strange if many of his people should not catch the infection. If he lose the and scandalous in his life, he is like a common well corrupted and muddied, at which all the town draw their water. The devil aimed at more than Peter when he desired thee to try a fall with him. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and that he may sift you as wheat. He knew his fall was likely to lead to the fall of many others. The minister's practice makes a greater sound than his doctrine. They who forget his sermon will forget his example. To quote it for their apology, when time serves, Peter withdraws and other Jews disassembled with him. Galatians 2:12-13. Truly your ministers are but men, subject to like passions with yourselves. He among them that presumes that he shall not slide into error or fall into sin is bolder than any promise in the word gives him leave. They need your prayers as much as any, and those most that fear their danger least. Thirdly, by praying for the minister, you take the most hopeful way to profit by his ministry. Such a soul as this may come in expectation of having a portion laid on his treachery, and such guests as ascend to heaven before they come to an ordinance are most likely to have the best entertainment. He that hears a sermon and hath not prayed for the minister and the success of his labors, sit down to his meat before he hath carved a blessing. He plays the thief on his own soul while he robs the minister of the assistance his prayers might have brought him from heaven. The least the minister is prayed for, the least it is to be feared who the people profit. Fourthly, by praying for the minister, you not only render the word he preacheth more effectual to yourself, but also interest yourselves in the good his ministry does to others, as there is a way of partaking in others' sins, so in others' holy services. He that strengthens the hands of a sinner any way in his wicked practices make his sin his own and shall partake with him in the wages due to the work when the day of reckoning comes. So he that strengthens the minister's hand in his holy work, whether by prayer, countenance, or relief of his necessities, becomes a partaker with him in his service, and shall not be left out in the reward. Matthew 10:41. We read there of a prophet's reward given to a private Christians, who communicate with the minister in his labor by their subservience to it, shall share in the reward. When God comes to reward his prophets for their faithful service, then Obadiah, that hid them from the fury of their persecutors, then Onesiphorus, O-N-E-S-I-P-H-O-R-U-S, that refreshed their bowels, yea, then all those faithful ones that put up their fervent prayers for the free course of the gospel in their ministry shall be called in to serve with them in their reward. He that hath but a 15th part in his ship is an owner as well as he that hath more. And when the voyage is over, he hath his share of the return that is made, proportionable to his part. Oh, that the encouragement is it to have a stock going in this ship, yea, to venture deeper than ever at the throne of grace for the now despised ministers of Christ, seeing heaven's promise is our insurance office to secure all we send to sea upon this account. End of chapter 2.